Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, it's going to be a huge Tuesday. I mean, I need you to think of this Tuesday as if it's a feminist. It's going to take a long time to tackle it. It's going to take a while to bring it down. What, Michael? What? It is Fat Tuesday. Good call, Michael. It's Fat Tuesday. So here's what we have on tap for tonight. Yes, we're going to talk about the inflation stuff. And we're going to talk about the Senate foreign aid bill. We're going to talk about Tony Bobulinski's testimony today about Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. Remember the crime syndicate I warned you about and others have warned you about? The syndicates, period. Yeah, they're here. A dude got arrested for violating a rainbow flag in Florida.
Why are you gay?
The January 6th pipe bomb case continues to get creepier. I don't know how to put that. All that, so much more. Emails coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I need to explain something before we dig into the Senate foreign aid bill that has everybody mad. And inflation and your standard of living and debt. And like, there's all kinds of this heavy stuff we have to get into. But I feel like I need to explain myself. I am not apologizing. As you know, that's just not something I do. But I do feel like every now and then I owe you an explanation on something. This is a personal thing. This is for me. All right. Hopefully this is not where you are, but maybe you're where I am. So I'm just going to explain. I find myself anymore getting angrier and angrier at the Washington, D.C. politicians, at people who are in office, people who are running for office, and I need to explain my anger. So I'm not sorry about my anger, but I feel like I need to explain it. I, as big of a jerk and an idiot as I am, and I know I'm a bad person, I really genuinely do care about you. I care about the good American people. I care that people are suffering and people are out of work or they can't make ends meet and they're watching their lives come apart financially. I care that my children and your children are growing up in a culture that is rotted out from underneath us. And because I care, that's why I get so mad at people who are doing it to us. And it's why sometimes I get mad and I yell about politicians you love. Because I yell about all of them, do I not? I yell about them. I don't have any loyalty to them. I need to be clear about this. I really feel like I should disclose this more often. I don't have any loyalty to a single politician in this country. And I never, ever, ever will. I am loyal to you. I care. And that's not because I'm some man of the people thing. I care about the good people in this country being wrecked. That's what I care about. I don't give a crap about Senator this or President that or Congressman this. I don't care about any of them. None. I'm not loyal to any of them. I want them to help us. We need them to help us. These are people in positions of power or running for positions of power, and I only care about them to the extent they can help us stop this insanity. And the more insane it gets, and the more weak our side gets, not you, but our senators and congressmen, I get more angry because I get more desperate watching it happen. Before we get to the Senate foreign aid bill, I want to talk about you, me, life. I want to talk about the inflation numbers. And no, we're not going to do this boring 4.5% thing, but look, let's just go down the list. Car insurance, 20%. These are the inflation numbers. 20% for car insurance. When's the last time you renewed your car insurance? We had to renew ours last month when my wife sent me the number that we got. And we tried to bundle, you know, to save money. When she sent me the number we got, I had to try to calm myself down so I didn't accidentally get rude to her because I was mad about the insurance number. I basically sent her one of these texts that said, "Baby, I really appreciate you reaching out and taking care of this, but this number is not accurate. There's something else extra in here. Would you please dig into that, please?" And she texted right back. I should have known. She's a detail freak. She's an accountant. She said, "No, I know, baby. That's the number. 20% increase. That's you're suffering from that. I am. Transportation. Hospital services. Have you visited a hospital or had a loved one visit a hospital recently? The quality has gone down. The costs are staggering. And this is another thing that no one in D.C. seems to care about. Medical bills happen, and medical bills can be life-changing, debilitating. If you're an American family or an older couple or anybody, maybe you're going through this right now, or maybe you've gone through this in your life. You know what I'm about to say is true. I know it's true because I've gone through this before. You are getting by. You're certainly not piling up the money, but you're getting by, making it. And then something happens medically. I had to have an emergency appendectomy one time. Obviously, you can't see that coming out of nowhere. I'm sitting in my recliner one night. My stomach starts hurting in an abnormal way. Not the I ate too much bratwurst kind of thing, but an abnormal way. Went to bed. Of course, that's a Kelly way. Well, I'll just sleep it off. Woke up the next day, did not sleep it off. Had to run to the emergency room. Had to have an emergency appendectomy, and we were getting by at the time. It's about 10 years ago, I'd say. Getting by. Those bills shattered us for 2 years, I think, trying to make payments, get by. Car repair, 6%. Homeowner, 6%. Rent, 6%. Food away from home, 5%. I'm not even going to go into all the other numbers. The normal American, maybe this is you right now, we are watching our standard of living decrease. And it's awful. And the stories you email me, and I'm not asking you to stop sending them. Please send them. It gives me perspective, and it helps me stay angry sometimes. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, whatever, send it. The stories you send me about what you're going through. And Jesse, I never get to go to my son's baseball practice anymore because I had to take a second job because of the rent increase. Man, baseball practice matters. It matters a lot. It's everything to my sons that when my oldest has a cross country meet that he looks over and his dad is there. First thing I do when I show up to my son's swim meets, if he has a swim meet, is I look around and make sure I locate him. I make sure he sees me and his face just lights up. Teenage boy. His dad's there. That's 100% the fire alarm you see going, you hear going off in the background. Hang on a second. Maybe it's a raid, Chris. Hold on. Pause everything. Chris, I've seen the movies. What if we're about to be raided and this is a plot by the commies? No, hear me out. What if the what, Chris? I know I have a gun. That's not the point is not whether or not they're going to die if they come in here. The point is I've seen the movies. They pull the fire alarm to try to trick you into coming out. Oh, dang, the fire alarm stopped. Anyway, if you can't go to baseball practice anymore because you have to take a second job, That sounds like nothing to people who don't care, but it's everything to you, isn't it? What's more important than that? No, sorry, I have to have a second job to make ends meet. And I know you have to. I'm not judging you on that. We're being demolished by Washington, D.C. spending. Americans, middle class and poor, and this is starting to come for the wealthy too as it gets worse and worse, but Americans, middle class and lower class, were suffering because of Washington, D.C. And these people, they will, only for political purposes, bring it up from time to time. They'll start bringing up inflation only so they can, of course, try to blame Joe Biden
this
for it all.
Biden's inflation, and he needs to own it.
Due to rampant inflation spurred by reckless government spending, and consumer prices are escalating at a historic pace.
Inflation is real. Don't dismiss it.
This is a national emergency. What I would like to do is get the administration to focus on this.
There's an old expression that when you find yourself in a hole, quit digging.
President Biden's inflation is strangling a free people. The American people deserve better.
Wow, isn't that touching? Those United States senators, those were all Republicans. They all care deeply about inflation. They care that you can't afford the rent. But you know what every one of those United States senators you just heard, you know what every one of them has in common? We'll talk about that next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Man, there is so much we have to get to tonight. I'm not even going to get to the Biden, Tony Bobulinski stuff probably until next hour. Right now, we're talking about inflation and the price of everything going up, and we're watching our standard of living disappear. And in case you're just joining us, I played a little montage going into the break because I was lamenting that nobody on our side, none of these senators and congressmen, seem to care that you're watching your standard of living go down. But maybe I misspoke because, man, these are all Republicans. Listen to these guys. Listen how much they care.
This is Biden's inflation, and he needs to own it.
Due to rampant inflation spurred by reckless government spending, and consumer prices are escalating at a historic pace.
Inflation is real. Don't dismiss it.
This is a national emergency. What I would like to do is get the administration to focus on this.
There's an old expression that when you find yourself in a hole, quit digging.
President Biden's inflation is strangling a free people. The American people deserve better.
Every single Republican senator in that montage you just heard complaining about inflation just voted to send $95 billion overseas without a single solitary penny for you. Not a penny in tax cuts, nothing for your border, nothing for you whatsoever. Billions for Ukraine, billions for Israel, billions for Taiwan, billions for them, billions for them, billions for them, nothing for you. This is why I get so angry. These people don't give a crap about us. They don't care at all. We're drowning out here. The country is drowning. And this is the stuff we get. This, as a United States senator, and I need to stress that one more time, a United States senator, Mitt Romney.
The vote we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
What? What did you just say? I need to play that one more time so I can make sure I process this. What did you just say, United States Senator Romney?
The vote we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
Boy, doesn't that just explain everything? Doesn't it explain everything? You know, we talk a lot about the communists and, and the three characteristics they all have in common: no love of country, no connection to the real world, and they see themselves as kings and queens. But I think maybe we should talk more often about how many Republicans in Washington, D.C. share characteristic number one. Because here's the God's honest truth. Here's a list of Republican senators who voted to send billions overseas while you suffer at the grocery store. Boozman, Capito, Cassidy, Collins, Cornyn, Kramer, Crapo, Ernst, Grassley, Hoeven, Kennedy, McConnell, Moran, Murkowski, Romney, Rounds, Sullivan, Thune, Tillis, Wicker, Young. The truth is that you sit and stress about the rent, about affording a new school bag for your kids this year, but the truth is not a single name I just mentioned ever thinks about you at all. You never even occur to them. It's not as if I need John Kuhn to sit around at night sucking on his thumb, thinking about you and the rent. It's not that I need that, but at least care a little bit. But they don't care at all. They're not mindful of America at all. Not even a little. The thought of America never even occurs to them, except when, with one big exception, I need to put in this big disclaimer. You see, they're Republicans. They're not Democrats. So they do have to talk about America during election season. That's the only thing that separates these people from the dirtballs on the left. And you know what? I'll say this, and I mean it 100%. Mitt Romney hates you more than Chuck Schumer hates you. Look, here they are. They both are right here, back to back. Here they are. Let me explain why Mitt Romney hates you more than Chuck Schumer does.
What we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
Today we witnessed one of the most historic and consequential bills to have ever passed the Senate.
You know why Mitt Romney hates you more than Chuck Schumer hates you? Because Mitt Romney knows when it comes to election season, he has to pretend to give a crap about you. Chuck Schumer has the luxury of being a Democrat. Democrats and their voting base despise the United States of America. So Chuck Schumer can actually just be quite honest about what he thinks when he gets up on the campaign trail. He's going to talk about how evil the country is, and it's racist, and it's misogynistic, and it's a colonizer place. It's horrible. Chuck Schumer never has to pander to people he doesn't agree with. Mitt Romney does. He hates you more than Chuck Schumer ever could because he has to pander to you. Mitch McConnell hates you more than Nancy Pelosi ever did. Capito, Cassidy, Collins, Cornyn, they hate us so much, and they don't ever think about America. Now, let's talk about us, as long as we're talking about us. Before we get to that, let's talk about Fred, my useless dog. Look, he is a big fluffball, and he has this way of taking an emotional hold on everyone who meets him. Now, when neighbors come over, they stop and get Fred treats before they come over. When my mom visits, she brings him a toy every time. This is how manipulative this dog is. He just throws his big fluffy self on you. But it is kind of wonderful to have a dog like that. And it makes you want him around forever, right? Don't you want your buddy around forever? Well, we can't have that, but we can have them longer. What would you do to have an extra year on the back end with your dog? An extra 5? I'd do anything. Would you buy them Rough Greens? Would you start pouring Rough Greens on their food so your dog can actually get real nutrition? Rough Greens is an all-natural nutritional supplement. You pour it on your dog's food. You will see a difference in your dog. His coat, his energy, his breath. Free jumpstart trial bags. roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG. Let's talk about us next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And you know how I was teasing talking about us? Well, that's going to have to wait for like 10 minutes because we have a surprise guest, a friend of mine, somebody who many of you have heard of now, who's been doing a lot of actual work in school boards across this country, Ryan Gerdusky. And Ryan reached out to me this morning when I was going off about all these useless low-T GOP senators. And before I go to Ryan, I just want to play something for you real quick. This is Senator Roger Wicker from the red state of Mississippi.
The bottom line is that America's interest in this war is clear. We need Ukraine to win, and that means giving them the tools to prevail. Cutting our support would cost us far more in the long run.
Does that make you angry? Do you want to punish Roger Wicker for that? You want to do something about it? Hey, Ryan, what can people do to punish Roger Wicker for that?
Well, there is a primary in the state of Mississippi. It is on March 12th, and Wicker is one of only two Republicans who actually is up this year that voted for the Ukraine funding, and he's the only one with a primary opponent, a guy named Colonel Gannon Burton. His website is burton4ussenate.com with the number 4, burton4ussenate.com. And you could either donate to him or you could vote for him if you are in the great state of Mississippi.
I want everybody to know that I have spoken to Gannon Burton since this morning. He is a retired United States Marine. He got out because the vax essentially kicked him out. This is one of our people, a decent human being. Ryan, why has the GOP primary voter not stepped up quite yet to remove the rotted filth from the GOP? Because I looked at this list, Ryan, and you and I have talked about this privately before. I don't see a bunch of Maines on here. Of course, Susan Collins is in there, but I look at this list of Republican senators where they come from. It's a lot of Arkansas, Ryan, a lot of Texas, a lot of Oklahoma, a lot of red on this list. Are reddest states produce the worst senators? Why?
Partially because the South, the solid South, the Republican South is the good old boy system. They reward people who are part of the machine for a very, very, very long time. And that is problematic, and that is the system, and it's working by design. And it has been like that for a long time, and it is still like that. And it is the state party, and it's the state leaders. And with very, very few exceptions, you have maybe like a Bob Good and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are really trying to sit there and shake things up. But that's the exceptions, not the rule. And the solid South, the way that the party system works down there, that's the way it's moving. There's also institutions in Washington, D.C., with millions of dollars that pour money against America First candidates and for people who listen to, you know, the Mitch McConnells of the world. I don't want to call them establishment, but they are, you know, more pro-globalization than they are anti it. So people that are, I have a candidate right now in Texas, Brandon Gill, Texas 26, as America First as they come, which got $1 million today against him from a PAC that doesn't like him because he doesn't support, you know, he didn't support Kevin McCarthy. So, I mean, things like that are how they punish candidates and make them fall in line constantly. And so you and people hear, you know, certain buzzwords and ad commercials go very far and money goes very far. And the institutions that are there to make sure that the system runs as it's supposed to run are very powerful. And the ones that are opposing it are very weak. You know, we really honestly, I mean, the Trump endorsement matters quite a bit. But aside from him, you're going to, and you're a Republican candidate running for either Congress or the Senate, you're going to the Club for Growth, you're going to AOA, you're going to many of the groups like the NRA are basically bankrupt. They're not functional like the way they used to be. The Susan B. Anthony or the pro-lifers, they're not like they used to be. There's really no immigration group that has millions of dollars to spend on behalf of candidates for lower levels of immigration, but tons of business organizations. And that kind of stuff goes far. And that fear of being punished for money, it means something.
Speaking of Ryan Gerdusky of the amazing 1776 Project PAC, you want to take back the country, it starts with the school boards, and that's what they've been winning across this place. Okay, Ryan, can you explain to me what you just said, though? Because there are so many millions of Americans who are passionate about not being globalists. They're passionate about illegal immigration. They're passionate about pro-life. So with that many people, how's there no money? It seems like a gigantic disconnect. Aren't there any rich people who are pro-life?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And there are people who are, yes, pro-lifers, I will give them credit. The pro-lifers and the pro-gun people are absolutely the most organized within the Republican base. And that's why they've made up the most ground and the most culture war win. I mean, listen, Texas and the rest of the country is a lot more gun-friendly today than it was in the 1970s, in part because of the work of Gun Owners of America and the NRA. But when you talk about immigration restriction, when you talk about a border wall, when you talk about being anti-military intervention, when you talk about being anti, you know, free trading with China, no, there are no organizations that are sit there and do this. There's no one who's done either A, the work, or B, been able to sit there and really raise the money to counter the business entities within the GOP. And, you know, there's a reason that only six United States senators want McConnell gone openly, even though many people realize that he is having a series of, or appears to be having a series of mini strokes on live television, because McConnell weighs a lot of influence with all the money he raises. Money does go far in this industry. And so if you want to change things and if you want to break things up, I mean, one, you have to vote because Republicans have a terrible record of showing up. But this year's midterm, this year's presidential primaries, more will be showing up. And you got to look at what special interest groups are backing. There are people who are trying to do the work. It's just very, very slow and it takes a long time to sit there and do.
Ryan, can you explain the not showing up part? I actually have some numbers that I was going to go get into next segment, and I may do that as well. But I'm looking at Kramer, North Dakota, 61,000 primary votes, yet 179,000 showed up in the general. Grassley, 140,000 in the primary, 681 in the general. Hovind, North Dakota, same story. McConnell, I could go down the whole list. It's the same story over and over and over again. You have roughly 25% of the GOP who bothers to put down the TV remote and vote in the primary. What is getting lost in translation here?
Well, that's the truth. But that is the truth also of the Democratic side, too. Look, primary voters, there's a special election in New York today. They're saying turnout's going to be about 11% Democrat, Republican, and independent. Americans don't vote that often, and they really don't vote in primaries. You could probably win a primary in this country for a statewide office with maybe 16% of the overall electorate. And that's just the case, and that's why sometimes it's so frustrating because people don't get up and go vote, and they're not active to sit there and do it. Why don't they do it? I'm not exactly sure, but it's also, but the thing, the difference between Republicans and Democrats is the Democrats have, I mean, one, they're more urban, so they live in closer vicinities to each other, but they have organizations that launched, like the career of AOC, that launched Ilhan Omar, that launched the other chick from Cori Bush from Missouri. They have organizational power to sit there and get, in such a small election, get turnout, strong. Aside from the Trump endorsement or Trump being on the ticket, that doesn't happen. Look, as of 2016, there were 44 million non-college educated whites in this country who were not even registered to vote. That is enough to literally change every single election. Non-college educated white Americans are the largest population of Americans, and they have the worst voting tendencies. The number one worst voting district in the state of Georgia is MTG's. The number one worst voting district in Virginia is Bob Goods. It's Central Virginia. The whitest and the most Republicans are having the worst turnout because, for whatever reason, whether it's they don't believe that politicians matter, or politicians are not saying the right thing, or there is no organizational effort to motivate them. Something is missing in this dichotomy, and that is what's hurting Republicans in off-cycle elections. That's what's hurting conservatives in primaries, and that's really the hole that has to be filled, and it can only be filled with very, very, very hard work.
He is putting in the hard work. You talk all the time. I know you care about getting involved. You want to get involved. Support the 1776 Project PAC. As you know, I'm a very vocal supporter of it. We will save this country from the outside in, not D.C. out. Ryan, my friend, I appreciate you as always, my brother.
Thank you so much. Bye.
There, some info. All right, let's talk a little bit more about that primary stuff and the Biden comments on the economy and, oh gosh, and other things next. Before we do that, let's do something good. Let's do something really good. Let's talk about the Tunnel to Towers Foundation's Never Forget programs. We talk a lot about Tunnel to Towers and how they're taking care of widows and orphans, fallen first responder families and Gold Star families and homeless vets. And I know you love all that. And I love all that, too. That it's very close to my heart. The Never Forget programs, what they do is they crisscross the country reminding Americans about not just 9/11, about service, heroism, patriotism. Part of the reason I love this so much is we have to be builders. Part of anti-communism is not just tearing down communism. It's building. It's remembering. I love that Tunnel to Towers is doing that. It's trying to change this culture for the better. $11 a month is what they ask. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, reminding you can email the show love and hate and death threats and ask Dr. Jesse questions. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get into this gang ringleader illegal arrested in New York City here in a second. I'm going to get back to what I had teased before Ryan came on as a surprise guest. I want to talk about us. I read you the list of the senators. Let's talk about the states. Arkansas, West Virginia, Louisiana, Texas, North Dakota, Indiana, Iowa, North Dakota, Iowa, Kentucky, Arkansas, Kansas, our reddest states. How could they do this? How could we wake up and be betrayed like that? How do we have people in office who will actually say things like this?
What we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
Senator Kramer out of North Dakota, one of the reddest states in the union, he had a primary last time. Did you know that? He got primaried. And you know how upset the GOP primary voter was about these kind of votes? 87% of them went out and voted for Kramer. He got 61,000 votes in the primary, 179,000 in the general, so most people couldn't be bothered to show up. Let's talk about Grassley. Chuck Grassley's been in the Senate for about 10,000 years. He had a primary last time, too. He's had a ton of these votes where he embarrasses himself, and the GOP primary voter was very mad about it, and they're going to put a stop to it. You want to know how mad they were? You want to hear how mad they were? 73% of the primary vote went to Chuck Grassley because the primary voter sees him on TV. Oh, look, another North Dakota guy, Hoven. Huh, 77% of his primary vote. Set that aside. Let's go to Mitch McConnell. You don't even know those other guys. Everyone knows Mitch McConnell, and everyone hates him, right? Everyone's mad. I actually saw a video recently where he was trying to give a speech, and he got drowned out by people yelling, "Retire! Retire!" I remember. You remember that? I think we played you some of the audio on the show. Wow, it was powerful. The GOP primary voter was really mad. How mad? Well, 82% of them went out and voted for him right back into office. He got 342,000 votes in the primary, 1.2 million in the general. So once again, 25% of the GOP could be bothered to get off the couch and vote against the guy they say they hate so much. We'll just do one more, just to wrap this up. John Thune. The reason I bring up John Thune is, well, we're going to have a problem. Mitch McConnell's almost done, and it's probably going to be John Cornyn, the horrible John Cornyn, you know how much I hate him, or John Thune taking over as the next head of the Senate GOP. And John Thune is a despicable rhino loser who has sold you down the river 8 million times. And you know what? South Dakota primary voters are sick of it. You know how sick of it they are? He had a primary last time. 72% of the primary voters who are sick of it went out and voted for John Thune. Once again, 85,000 votes in the primary, 242,000 in the general, showing once again the GOP primary voter simply stays home. He either doesn't care, or maybe even worse, he shows up to vote for the loser he sees on television every single time. We have got to keep looking in the mirror. And the hard part about this conversation is it almost undoubtedly does not apply to you. You care. You pay attention. You know these guys suck. You vote against them every time. What the challenge for you and the challenge for me is, and I'll be honest, I have failed at this challenge personally. I've been successful sometimes, but oftentimes I fail. Our challenge is dragging the norms and normas in our lives out to vote in primaries. I've lamented to you multiple times how frustrated I get that I can't get my norm friends out. And my norm friends, I know you have friends like this, they're Republicans. They're almost all Republicans. And when I walk into a party, an event of some kind, hey, we're having a big neighborhood cookout. When I walk into the backyard, everyone's cooking out, a couple beers, horseshoes, the kids are playing. You know, when I walk in, they come up to me and immediately start talking about politics. To be honest, you probably know this. I've told you this before. I actually don't like talking that much politics when I'm not at work. When I'm off work, don't text me political stuff and rant and rave about. I just talk politics 4 hours every day. I want to do it. It's not me. It's not coming from me. I'll show up and they'll come up immediately. Jesse, did you see what Biden did? Jesse, did you see the senators? Man, Jesse, Mitt Romney sucks.
The vote we will soon take to provide military weapons for Ukraine is the most important vote we will ever take as United States senators.
The next week, there'll be a GOP primary vote or a local election here. And the same guy who came up with a beer and a broad in hand at a backyard event and wanted to scream at me about politics and how broken DC is, I will send a text message. Here's a heads up. Primary vote is today. This vote matters. And not only that, I try to spoon feed it to them. And this is who you need to vote for. I don't overcomplicate it. I don't brutalize them with details. This is the primary vote. You need to go vote today. This is who you vote for. Almost every time, I don't even get a text back. About, I would guess, it's not even 10%. Honestly, I would guess 5% of the time I will get one back. Oh, that's right. I'm going to go vote today. Thanks for reminding me. 5% maybe. I'm tired of hearing about how much we care. Show me. Show me. Again, it's not for you, I know, but it's for the norms. It's for the normas. All right, let's talk about that disastrous press conference, the White House messaging over inflation, and so much more. You know what I should just start doing? As soon as my neighbors come up and they're all, Jesse, we got to do something, I should just start, instead of talking to them about politics, I should pull out my male vitality stack. I should walk around with the male vitality stack bottles on one of those waist things. Have you ever seen those? Like you do at barbecues. Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris. Like a Batman utility belt. And I'll say, well, you know what? Hold on. Before you talk to me about politics anymore, I have a feeling that you're not actually going to show up for that primary vote. So I have a solution for you. What we need to do is we need to get your energy and your T levels up. So here, and I'm going to pull out my male vitality stack bottles and I'll give them a little stack and I'll say, here, this is your starter kit here. Clearly you're lacking the T levels and the focus. We all need our T levels up, our energy levels up, all of us. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. This should be the norm. Natural herbal supplements. No more big pharma crap destroying our bodies. Natural herbal supplements making us stronger and making us ready. Go take advantage before February's gone. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Go now. We'll be back.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.